Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I've been quite clear that we do have a plan to address migration at the southern border. We're executing it. It takes time, and we're starting to see the results.
I have a plan.
You've got a plan.
Yes.
I don't even believe you have a plan.
I have part of a plan.
They have no plan. No plan whatsoever.
I mean, it is all a chaotic mess that starts and ends with the Biden administration.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I mean, there is a scene in the book which took our breaths away. The one courageous person who did something was General Milley. He said, I am going to...
Oh, well, he's very popular, Ed. The Spartos, Motorheads, Geeks, Bloods, Wastoids, Dweebies, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moonbats beware. It's Howie Carr.
I got so much to get to, and the day is slipping away. And Joe Biden hasn't even come out from the Matlock bin she's been on since Boris Karloff left yesterday.
I don't think he's coming out today.
I don't think he is either. Yesterday was pretty disastrous, and then the UN before the day before. I mean, it was preposterous. I mean, how bad he was. And he didn't, you know, we just go up for the bloopers and just for the cheap chuckles. But he didn't mention China. He didn't mention Russia. How can he go and address the General Assembly of the United Nations, you know, this supposedly the semi-governing body of the world, and not mention the two other biggest so-called superpowers? But he talks about climate change. God, ridiculous. All right, time now for the Chump Line.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of New York and to the, you know, the thing.
In case you didn't hear it yesterday, he confused the United States with the United Nations, among many of his other confusions as the day went on.
Jaisal Michael Correa's campaign slogan when he gets out of the can: Correa for mayor. He did it for himself.
Yeah, that's another way he was different, very different than James Michael Curley is. The judge was mistaken with his historical analogy, saying that Jaisal was another James Michael Curley. Jaisal did it for himself. There's no question about it. Also, I think, I don't know for sure, but I think probably Curley had his bag men go to pick up the cash payments by themselves. He didn't insist on driving them down. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer. 20 years after the attack on American citizens on our home soil, our embassy, our home soil in Kabul, Afghanistan, is under Taliban control, while private groups like the NazareneFund.org continue their efforts to rescue those we left behind.
In Del Rio, Texas, down on the Rio Grande, there's thousands of Haitians, and Biden ain't got a plan.
Yeah, we should play the sound cut. We put a little bit of it in the intro, but here are the some of the residents of Del Rio on Fox. Cut 24.
They have no plan, no plan whatsoever. I personally, as an immigrant, I love this country. I love America. I am heartbroken over what's happening. And I just pray to God that things will change soon. It's really very difficult for me to witness that. I sympathize with them, but I sympathize with us as well.
35,000 people live in Del Rio, Texas. There's 15,000 people living under that bridge. Say my town has 20,000 people in it. It'd be like having 7,000-8,000 people just camped out in the town. You think you'd feel safe at night? Just not knowing where anybody came from, knowing a lot of them have diseases, that none of them speak English. They're just indigents from the third world, and they suddenly arrive on your doorstep. I think they have
Biden has figured out.
I think they have a Republican congressman down there. This guy Gonzalez, Tony Gonzalez. I've never heard of him before, but I think he's a freshman Republican congressman. Let's play his cut too. Cut 23.
The Del Rio International Bridge shutdown has created an economic impact on small businesses in and around this community. It's a terrible thing. It's not getting any better. The bulk of migrants aren't getting returned back to their country of origin. They're getting released to get a court date years later. Only hundreds of migrants are getting sent back to Haiti. Many of them are becoming unruly, and they're attacking Border Patrol agents. I mean, it is all a chaotic mess that starts and ends with the Biden administration.
Meanwhile, the Canadian border remains closed, does it not? And they have a higher rate of vaccination in Canada than we do in the United States. And yet the border shut down. There's economic chaos on the New York Canadian border, too. Same thing. Different type of chaos. But the local economy is being ravaged.
Biden has figured out how to deal with the Haitian refugee crisis. Load them all onto an Amtrak train bound for Haiti.
I'm sure if Blinken suggested that or somebody else suggested that, he'd go for it in an instant. Say, let's get Angelo back. Let's get my conductor friend back. He's dead? No.
Did he vote for me?
I'm sure he did five times.
Joe Biden was on the border when he was chasing out Pancho Villa. You don't remember?
I thought he was going to get drafted by General Pershing, but he claimed he had a bum knee, and he got out of it and went on to play Division I football at the University of Delaware while he was the first white student at Delaware State.
You think your job's tough? Try being Biden's sign language interpreter.
How about being one of the translators yesterday at the UN? Then none of them showed up for work today. They were all too hungover from after what they did after the speech was over.
Dementia Joe thinks Del Rio and the Haitians is a 50s rock and roll band.
Yeah, they were my favorite doo-wop group, he says. Better than Dion and the Belmonts.
Haiti's not going to sink into the ocean. It's more likely it will simply tip over.
Yeah, you know, Haiti is half of that island. What do they call it? Hispaniola or something like that. It's half of it, and the other half is the Dominican Republic. And the Dominican Republic does not like having Haitians come in to their part of the island. So now they're coming over to the United States and we're supposed to welcome them. I wonder what the Dominicans know that we don't know.
Once again, the left has lowered the bar with a lecture on immigration by Ilhan Omar. This from abroad who committed fraud by marrying her brother, yet she's still a star.
Yeah. I don't think there's too much question about that. And she also committed a student loan fraud, I guess, too, when she was going to school on the arm. She spent her whole life on the arm since she got out of a refugee camp in, I think, Kenya, somewhere like that. And she is totally ungrateful to the country that took her in. Not only ungrateful, but hates the country. Wants to destroy the country that saved her from being another victim in Somalia.
Kamala Harris finally made an appearance at a football game to flip a coin. Oh, wait, isn't that how Joe picked her?
wanted Amy Klobuchar, but he had already made it a promise to take a black woman, and the choices were not particularly promising. So he went with her because she was from California. And what a mistake! Another mistake.
Tucker, I mean Taylor, it's Howie. I didn't know you're such a leftover snob. It amazes me that you'll consume 6-decade-old Steel Sinatra records, yet you won't eat 6-day-old paella. Just scrape off the slime and put it in the microwave, Sonny.
Taylor is very paranoid about seafood. That paella is holding up very nicely. I had some for lunch today. I only got enough left for 3 days.
When is it long enough for you?
What?
When is it long enough for you? When is your time stamp on seafood?
As long as it doesn't smell bad, it doesn't smell bad.
How do you know when seafood smells bad?
You know, again, Taylor, I was born in Seacoast, Maine.
I was born in New Bedford, Massachusetts, the fishing capital of the world.
Seafood always smells good to me.
That was your last chump line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
That's it for the chump line today. The chump line is the recorded voicemail message service of the Howie Carr Show. You can call and leave a message at any hour between 1 and 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We may or may not play your message. The number, if you'd like to leave a message on the chump line, 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. Press 2 for the chump line. Leave your message. We may or may not play it, as I just said. And if you didn't hear your message, or you just like to hear a second chump line with different messages, we put the extra ones of each day on Chopped Chumps. And Chopped Chumps is posted online about 7 o'clock every weeknight. And get Chopped Chumps wherever you get your Howie Carr Show podcast. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer. 20 years after the attack on American citizens on our home soil, our embassy, which is our home soil in Afghanistan, is under Taliban control, while private groups like the NazareneFund.org continue their efforts to rescue those we left behind.
You think your job's tough? Try being Biden's sign language interpreter.
Yeah. Well, again, he didn't... I guess the sign language interpreter banged in sick today too, like all the interpreters at the UN, because Joe Biden has not been seen today. There must be some really good programming going on MeTV. I haven't checked it out. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He hasn't quite reached the get off my lawn status, but he's getting pretty close.
You've grown up on instant orange juice. Flip a dial, instant entertainment. Dial 7 digits, instant communication. Turn a key, push a pedal, instant transportation. Flash a card, instant money. Shove in a problem, push a few buttons, instant answers.
The Howie Carr Show will be right back. Say what you will about him.
He's a common, ignorant slob. He don't even speak good English.
He doesn't even speak good English.
He's Howie Carr, and he's here to stay.
And we're saying to the president and everybody else, you got to stop this madness. And I want to know, in the first place, who's paying these cowboys to do this work? They've got to be gotten rid of. They've gotten to be stopped. It cannot go on. And so I thank all of you for being here today. Write the story. Tell the story about what is going on. And let people know that they're trying to take us back to slavery days and worse than that.
Slavery. These people aren't Americans. They're coming into the country. They don't speak English. They're not slaves. And who's paying them, Maxine? You got a mirror? You voted for the budget. Their paychecks are coming out of the budget. And just because you wear a cowboy hat doesn't make you a cowboy. Although Biden might have a hard time figuring that out. I was just looking at the MeTV schedule, what he's been watching this afternoon. Wow, no wonder he couldn't go to work. The Waltons, Gunsmoke, Bonanza, 2 half-hour Riflemans, then Wagon Train, I hope with Ward Bond, although John McIntyre would be okay. And right now, One Adam 12. You think he's going anywhere? You think he's going to a press conference today? He's busy. He's got his hands full. 844-500-4242. This fall, HelloFresh is here to help me spend quality time on what really matters. HelloFresh delivers everything I need for quick and easy meals. Go to HelloFresh.com/Howie14 and use code Howie14 to get up to 14 free meals, including free shipping. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will Biden visit the southern border before the end of the year?
No. You know.
95% say no.
All right.
And 617 has a good point. Maxine Waters should face fines for using the gendered term cowboys.
It is. It's cow people. Cow persons. Yeah. By the way, when is Dallas football team going to have to give up its nickname and become DFT, Dallas football team? That's another thing. Hadn't thought of that. 844-500-4242. I love the border agent saying, anybody with half a brain knows that those were reins. I mean, again, I said this, and I think it's true of most people who've never ridden a horse like me. I know what a rein is, you know? And I know what a whip is. There's a difference between a rein and a whip. But Maxine Waters doesn't meet that brain criteria, I don't think. Christopher, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Christopher.
It really angers me, Howie. Every time I fly back into Logan Airport with my passport, I should just tell the TSA that I'm a Haitian. They've gone through my luggage. I know they have a job to do, but I just don't understand why I'm subjected. Nothing from Australia that's dangerous has ever come into Boston, except for maybe a snake that's at the Boston Zoo. I don't know why I'm always patted down, have my stuff searched, being asked why I'm here, when I've got a green card. It's incessant with them, and I know they have a job to do, but I don't understand why I'm treated so much differently than the Haitians.
I know. What if you were a black person living in New York and you saw Chuck Schumer, the senator, saying that they shouldn't turn anybody back because they have COVID-19 at the border, but they can't go into any kind of restaurant in New York City if you're black and you haven't gotten a vaccine, or any color and you haven't gotten a vaccine? I mean, isn't there somewhat of a different standard? What about the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, Christopher? You know, equal protection under the law.
Things need to change, Howie, and they need to change fast. I'm fast losing any confidence that they will change, because things are just deteriorating so deleteriously. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm just, like you always say, I just want to be treated like an illegal immigrant. In this case, I want to be treated like an illegal Haitian. That's all I'm asking for every single time I fly back into Logan Airport.
I know. They attacked a bus driver. What would happen to you if you attacked a bus driver, an MBTA bus driver? I'm telling you, Rachel Rollins would prosecute you. You know, even the district attorney of Suffolk County would prosecute you if you placed the lives and health of everybody on that bus, including the bus driver, in jeopardy by attacking the bus driver. But the liberals are all in an uproar because Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, said he wants to prosecute the people, the Haitians on the bus, who attacked the bus driver to try to escape. And what's going to happen to the guys who tried to bite the pilot on the flight back to Port-au-Prince? I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Texter wants to know, when are they going to change the legislative leadership term whip? Steny Hoyer, House Majority Whip!
Barbaric.
Or is that Clyburn, the black guy? The black guy certainly can't be the whip, can he? I mean, that would be so racially insensitive. Give me the Mass Commission Against Discrimination on the phone, damn it. 844-500-4242. I want to read this story from this column from Jason Riley in the Wall Street Journal. And again, a lot of the stuff we've talked about it, uh, before about how in government, you the more you subsidize something, the more of it you get. The more you tax something, the less of it you get. And he's talking about this welfare bill, this giant welfare bill that the Democrats have proposed, $3.5 trillion. Some of us, he writes Jason Riley, and again, he's a black columnist for the Wall Street Journal, some conservative, some of us are more concerned about what it could mean for the country beyond the next election or two. Liberals view a larger welfare state as an unalloyed good, but what's the track record? Entitlement programs were dramatically expanded in the 1960s in the service of the war on poverty, yet poverty fell at a slower rate after the Great Society initiatives were implemented, and overall dependency on the government for food, shelter, and other basic necessities increased. The median time a family now spends in a New York City public housing project is 19 years, and 10% of public housing residents in the city have been there for more than 40 years. Housing intended to help families through a rough patch has become a multi-generational trap for some. That's why Daniel Patrick Moynihan, when he was an aide to Richard Nixon before he became a Democrat senator from New York, he said that what was needed was benign neglect. He meant, in other words, he meant no more poverty programs. Just it's better to leave everything alone. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. In other words, this is me speaking, not Jason Riley. Democrats are now aiming to create new entitlements. Workers making $200,000 a year would be eligible for a new national paid family and medical leave program. Earlier this year, the American Rescue Plan Act expanded the child tax credit for households earning as much as $150,000. Liberals pitch these social programs in the name of helping underprivileged minority groups and reducing inequality. But the lesson of the 1960s is that government relief can put in place incentives that have the opposite effect. Between 1940 and 1960, the percentage of black families living in poverty declined by 40 points as blacks increased their years of education and migrated from poor rural areas to more prosperous urban environs in the North and South. No welfare program has ever come close to replicating that rate of black advancement, which predates affirmative action programs that often receive credit for creating the black middle class. Moreover, what we experienced in the wake of Great Society interventions was slower progress or outright retrogression. Black labor force participation rates fell. Black unemployment rates rose. That was also connected to increasing the minimum wage. But he didn't mention that, but I just did. And the black nuclear family disintegrated. In 1960, fewer than 25% of black children were being raised by a single mother. Within four decades, more than half. Antisocial behavior is closely associated with family breakdown, so it's no surprise that more fatherless homes led to higher violent crime rates. The criminologist Barry Latzer has noted that black male homicide rates had been falling in the 1940s by 18% and in the 1950s by 22%. Yet this trend would reverse itself beginning in the late 1960s and continue to worsen for nearly three decades. The political left likes to cite the legacy of slavery and Jim Crow. But what about the legacy of the massive welfare state interventions by Democrats in the 1960s? This is Jason Riley, columnist for the Wall Street Journal. Labor economist Richard Vedder in the current issue of the Independent Review writes, the real median income of the black population more than doubled between 1948 and 1973, increasing an astonishing 3% a year. If average instead of medians are used to calculate real income, the increase was even larger. But it's stagnated since then as the war on poverty took over, replaced the father in the family, black and white family, as he gets into now. The welfare state is often discussed in relation to its effect on racial and ethnic minorities, yet crime, single parenting, and drug abuse also increased among poor whites in the aftermath of the Great Society. When the government indulges and subsidizes counterproductive behavior, we tend to get more of it. By undermining the development of human capital and allowing, even encouraging, larger and larger swaths of the less productive population to live off their more productive brethren, we risk exacerbating income inequality and nurturing class resentments. Hard left ideologues don't care much about these trade-offs. but they're relevant for anyone who wants to understand the relationship between social progress and government, quote unquote, help. And that's what they want. That's what this $3.5 trillion bill is about. They call it human infrastructure. It's more welfare. And again, those numbers can't be disputed. Those are real numbers. 844-500-4242. Charlotte, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Charlotte.
Hi, it's a pleasure to speak to you, Mr. Carr. I really appreciate your patriotism regarding America. I'm a frustrated immigrant myself. I came to America from Canada in the 60s. It was about a 7-year process for my parents to be vetted, and they had to have support from within the United States.
Sponsor
them.
Yeah.
So when I see and I hear that these immigrants are blasting through these faulty walls and whatnot, it absolutely revolts me. Now, back to the Haitians. I had a younger brother who was in the Coast Guard in the 1990s, stationed from New Hampshire to Florida. He was a French translator. He said the conditions of these people, when they brought them or actually guided them back towards where they were coming from, if they did board their boats, they were either dead, they were dirty, they were sick. In order to handle these immigrants, they had to wear 3 layers of plastic uniforms because of the diseases that they had. So for this filtration to automatically go into the States right now, this COVID BS, it's not going to resolve itself because Mr. Biden and his blind support team, they have no idea what they're dealing with. I don't know who they're trying to appease, the Russians, the Chinese, or whomever, but it is absolutely an insult to people that want to make this country better.
I know. You know, Charlotte, I think, we've talked about this before, but in the old days, and I think these laws are still on the books, you had to have a sponsor if you came to the country, and the sponsor had to sign an affidavit. And it was binding. I mean, in some cases, you still do sign it, but nobody ever enforces it. And the binding legal document said if this person became a ward of the state or couldn't support himself, you had to support him. He or she could not go on welfare. And I also think another part of the immigration plan, the immigration laws, was that if you were residing legally in the United States and you were an immigrant, you had to present yourself to law enforcement, probably your local police department, every 6 months to, as they used to say in the laws, give a good account of yourself. You had to explain how you were staying out of trouble. It was like you were on parole. They still use the word parole in some of these, with these Afghan immigrants. I'd never seen the word used in that context until very recently, but it was like you were on parole and the cops were your parole officer and you had to explain to them that you hadn't gotten into trouble and they could check on you. And you know what? We weren't having the same kinds of problems that we're having with these so-called refugees. There weren't any terrorist attacks in the U.S. Crime was not rampant and out of control among illegal aliens. There were not very many illegal aliens. Of course, there were some illegal aliens, but not that many. And I don't blame people like Charlotte for being more angry than anyone else. Look, Mr. Garcia is another one. He's from Guatemala, but he came over illegally, and he's going nuts. And I don't blame him for wanting to get out of these terrible blue states. Thanks for the call, Charlotte. Paul, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Howie.
Hi.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
All these Haitians in Del Rio, Texas, how did they get there?
They've been apparently, and no one has contradicted this, They apparently fled Haiti years ago, and a lot of them have been living in Chile and Brazil and probably other South American countries. And they realized, though, the opportunities were greater in the United States because, you know, there's no law in the United States if you're an illegal alien and you don't have to work. So why wouldn't you want to come up to the United States, Paul?
Okay, I thought they recently left Haiti.
No.
They left Haiti a long time ago.
Yes. Yeah, they according to what I've heard, that a lot of, and you know, people have said that almost all of them have cell phones and other instruments of social media. There was one woman they interviewed, she'd been in Chile for 5 years, and she came over with her toddler daughter. Now, where's daddy? Where's papa? You know, who fathered the toddler daughter? I mean, I know if she gets across the border and gets put on a bus, I know who's going to be supporting toddler daughter. Me and you, we're going to be supporting them. I'm tired of this. What country in the world can survive when you're just taking in anyone who wants to just have a free ride? And they have more. If you come across, you're a criminal, and you come across and sneak into the country, you have more rights than the law-abiding American citizens and the legal aliens. How long do you think you're going to have a society if you're going to set up that situation, that paradigm? You're not going to have it very long. If you have two, I've said this before, but it's self-evident. If you have two sets of laws. One set of laws for one group of people, another set of laws for another group of people. The group of people that's not benefiting from the better set of laws is not going to put up with it. And pretty soon, you're going to have no laws. You're going to have anarchy.
So say it with me. Si se puede. The future is ours.
And let me tell you something. Another thing you learn from history, anarchy doesn't last very long. Because somebody's got more power than they'll put together some power and they will take over everything. And guess what? When the guy who has all the power and does away with anarchy, he doesn't care too much about your civil liberties or about your gender fluidity either, for that matter. 844-500-4242. When people diet, they think primarily of macronutrients like carbs, fat, protein, and calories. They don't focus on micronutrients, the vitamins, herbs, and minerals your body needs for things like energy production. That's why I take Super Beats Heart Chews. I'm holding them up right now for the camera. They come wrapped in foil like candy. I'm going to give you VIPs some as soon as we finish this spot. You're going to love them. I take two a day. That's what they recommend. I take one in the morning, and then I take one just before or during the show. They give you a boost of energy. They're great for blood circulation and blood pressure, everything. It makes your body just run more smoothly. Because Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a special ingredient, grapeseed extract, that is unique to Super Beats Heart Chews. Grapeseed extract has been the focus of scientific research for years due to its high concentration of antioxidants, which supports cardiovascular health and overall wellness. And they taste great, too, on top of everything else. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be twice as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. You can't find this quality of grapeseed extract in just any product. This grapeseed extract is clinically studied, quality tested, traceable to the source, scientifically shown to support blood flow and healthy blood pressure. Healthy blood flow means more energy the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. I take one in the morning before I even have my first cup of coffee. It's just really good for you, and it tastes great as well. So convenient. You can just put them right in your pocket when you leave to go to work or school or whatever in the morning. And whenever you need a boost of energy, just pop one in. Just two delicious chews a day gives you the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews. Get your Super Beats Heart Chews today at superbeatsradio.com/Howie. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third one for free. That's superbeatsradio.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Did you miss part of today's show?
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Just search Howie Carr on your favorite podcast app and listen anywhere, anytime.
He regretted to his dying day, if ever he lives that long.
Howie Carr is back.
People are calling me and texting me and telling me that You still have to sign those affidavits. 860, I'm ready to ask for a refund of all the money I paid to bring my husband here legally. The affidavit of support is for 10 years. 10 years. These people come crossing the border now. They want to get on welfare in 10 minutes. 781, my daughter-in-law is from Denmark, and she has to check in regularly, and my son is her sponsor. Two sets of laws, two sets of rules. 844-500-4242, 617. Ever notice how they never hold up a specific Scandinavian country for us to emulate anymore? That's because the Scandinavian countries now require refugees to work. Yeah, speaking of Denmark, they just had a resolution introduced in their parliament or legislature to require anybody who moves to Denmark to work. If they, you don't have to support yourself totally, but you have to be getting up and going to work, just like you're Danish. You know, what a terrible, terrible concept. Why do you think they want to come to Denmark? Because they want to work? I don't think so. 844-500-4242. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Howie. Love hearing Mr. Garcia, first of all. But
thanks.
Speaking about taxes, the Federal Reserve met today, and Powell was out saying, guess what? Inflation looks like it's going to be a little bit more sticky.
It's not going to be transitory?
No, sticky is the new word.
And, sticky.
And hey, here's the other thing. Federal Express came out today, and the stock plunged. And I just it's an on-the-run company, and I just want to let you know, they're having trouble making money because their costs are going up faster than they can raise prices, and they can't hire workers.
I wonder why. John, haven't we imported more than 1 million illegal aliens, and didn't George Bush tell us that they're only here to do the jobs Americans won't do? How come all the 200,000 a month illegal aliens aren't reducing the labor shortage?
It doesn't seem to be working. When you give free money out, as you said, and Jason Riley said, you subsidize non-work, you got non-work. So the system's working pretty well. But the other thing is, too, is real wages are falling.
Right.
So even though wages are going up, right, people aren't dumb, right? And inflation's running 8-10%, and wages aren't going up. So some people are just saying, heck with it, you know, at the margin that don't have to work or work an extra job. This is what you get when you have Biden running an economy into the ground.
Yeah, I know. And just 2 years ago, John, I mean, the economy was probably at running more smoothly, more efficiently, more making more people prosperous than any time in my lifetime, I think, John. You know? And it's all over. It's destroyed by one election and one virus.
Back to Jimmy Carter on steroids.
It is. It's worse than Jimmy Carter. The difference, of course, being is that I don't think Jimmy Carter did it deliberately. I mean, not that Joe Biden knows what he's doing. He doesn't know his rear end from a hole in the ground. But, I mean, Biden's people, they can't be this incompetent. It's just not possible. I know if you're given a choice between incompetence and evil, you always pick incompetence. But I don't think so in this case. I'm Howie Carr. We'll be right back.